order, 6:02. Call the meeting to order. First up is approval of minutes from last month. We had a chance to review those. I make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting. I've got a second.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay. Asa seconds. All those in favor? Aye. Or a show of hands helps. Thank you. Motion carries. So next up, I guess the Parks and Rec report from Mr. Boffman. How are you, Peter?
Well, the big deal lately, as I'm sure you other arborists can attest to, is the snow damage we've been dealing with in the trees. Pretty extensive, Lithia Park, some of the other parks. Today we dealt with one that we just discovered. It's that big Deodore cedar on the plaza right in front of Gateway Real Estate. The whole top had broken out and it was just sitting up there. Some real massive stuff. So we enlisted the aid of the electric department with their bucket truck, and that really worked nicely. So it was good to get that out. And there's still some cleanup to do here and there, but we're starting to, I think, get the more hazardous things out. We keep discovering more things as time goes on. So it's a pretty heavy snowfall. Definitely makes for some unusual jobs, things that you don't normally see.
That it does. So, and remind me, so the plaza is all under the purview of parks or the city, or how? I was always
city. So those are city owned trees. And then the city, I think Public Works has a contract with parks to do maintenance. So we have a couple of guys whose full-time job it is in parks to maintain boulevards, medians, that kind of thing. And then the trees kind of go along with, if there's maintenance to do, we try to coordinate and do that as well. Gotcha. But other city electric department in particular is good about helping with especially tricky situations like that. So
yeah, it's great you guys have that relationship to be able to coordinate on. You know, a lot of cities aren't that way.
That is really fortunate. So that's how that works. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. All right. Anything? Sorry, go ahead. Oh,
I noticed there was a couple of trees that were down at North Mountain Park, some willows blocking the paths.
Okay, I actually haven't been down there yet myself, but
yeah, right along the trail that's closest to the creek, to Bear Creek there.
Okay,
nothing
in the nature center.
Yeah,
area. Okay,
yeah, there's kind of a willow that's sort of walking its way across the landscape. Every time it falls over, it reroots. And
oh yeah,
so this time I think it's done.
Okay, I'll try. I haven't heard anything about that from the Nature Center staff either, so I'm surprised, but I will I'll check that out as soon as possible.
Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, anything new from your desk, Aaron, to update us on?
Well, I guess, you know, to give you a report from the city perspective, I would touch on a couple of things that Councillor Jensen would say, I'm sure, if he was here. Our new city manager is now on board. His first day was, I believe, the third. And so that's the big news internally within the city. The emergency order was extended, and many of us are continuing to work from home as we have. And if you haven't been paying attention to the numbers, it sort of feels like not a bad idea right now. And the only other items I have deal with that tree inventory program we spoke about, and also Tree of the Year nominations. But I would rather hold on to those items and hit them at the discussion item after we've dealt with the hearings.
Cool. Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. We'll get into it then, into the type 1 reviews. And this is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Firstly, the public hearing will be open, and those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Next, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. And after the staff report, the applicant and applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or the representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the presentation. Next, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those who wish to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Next, staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which has been raised. And then the applicant will then have 5 minutes rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. So I'll call to order planning action T1-2021-00168. This is at 34 Scenic Drive, Rogue Development for Gobelman and Stahman. This is a request for minor land partition to divide the large area parcel into three parcels. This is before the Tree Commission to review their tree protection plan. All right, so if we have a staff report on this one, Aaron.
Yeah, you know, this one is really simple in terms of the fact that there's no removals being requested, and we're really just evaluating the proposed tree protection plan. Amy, you should now be a panelist, are you not? Amy, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm here.
Oh, there you are. I was just going to share my screen to show the tree protection plan. Did you have your own presentation, or should I just go ahead and share that?
If you want to share that, I have photos and a slideshow presentation that I can get into.
You have control to share the screen, so please feel free to go ahead and take the floor.
Super, I will do that. Okay, now let's see if I can manage these two screens. Can you guys see the PowerPoint screen?
Yes.
Okay, super. Good evening, Tree Commission. The application before you is a minor land partition at 34 Scenic Drive. As Aaron noted, there's not a lot in the way of, trees, because the proposal is not proposing to remove any of them. And the conceptual utilities also accommodate for staying within existing driveway surfaces to serve proposed parcel 2, the southern parcel. And proposed parcel 3 is the larger parcel here, which is laid out in this configuration for a number of reasons. One of them is to preserve this area of trees. This is the row of oak trees, and I'll show you some photographs of these things. That is along Scenic Drive. And then these are some ponderosa pines and some other mixed deciduous trees. Let me get this laser pointer off. This is the tree protection and utility plan. Sorry, it sort of cut off the language, but you should have one of them in your packet. Since we've got a water line coming across, it will then provide access to proposed parcel 2, and then utility electric is coming underground here, and it would just continue to propose parcel 2. Proposed parcel 3 is a future development parcel. There's numerous things that could be done there: single family homes, single family with accessory unit, duplex, partition for flag lots, cottage homes, a whole host of different things. And part of the reason why that north lot is so wide and why the lots are as wide as they are is due to the solar access ordinance. And also that north lot is in the width that's in order to be able to achieve grade for future driveway too, if it needs to sort of meander down that hill. But just basic math of it, if the wall is about 12 feet tall, the lot's 100 feet wide, just a straight shot of a driveway can meet grade concerns. But the goal is to preserve those trees at this point. These are the oak trees that I was referring to along Scenic. The driveway curb cut is just off the screen to the left of the oak tree. And this is a view looking back down Scenic towards the grove of ponderosas and then the mixed deciduous trees, the retaining wall along Scenic. These are the ponderosa and I think there's some Doug firs mixed in there. They're not in the most, you know, excellent condition. All the trees have been really stressed out, but this was just this last summer and they were still surviving. And now with all this rain, hopefully they'll perk up, but they do have split tops and that sort of thing. The property owners live across the street from this. And so part of the reason for obtaining this property was so that they would have some control over what happens on it. This is just looking right over the edge of the retaining wall at the trees and then looking back down Scenic towards the property. Does the commission have, that pretty much ends my slideshow. If you guys have any questions of me, I'll do my best to answer them.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. A great presentation that helps kind of make it more clear in my mind. I guess if we could go back, what's happening along those row of oaks? Is it pretty much staying the same or new buildings going in or?
So there is an existing slope behind the oak trees.
Right.
The oaks are right on the property and at the edge of the public right of way. And due to the slope and where those oak trees are, the natural building envelope, as well as the required 15-foot front yard setback are sort of built in. Let me go back to that screen because there's already concrete there. There was a driveway, there were structures. And so this is essentially the building envelope is in the location of where the existing disturbed area was. I don't know which screen I have you guys looking at. I think you're still looking at me.
We've got it, or I do. Okay. Tree protection plan.
We're seeing your slide sort of view.
Okay, here, let me open that up then from current slide. Okay, so it's about 20 feet to the front of the building envelope, and the standard setback in that zone is 15, but there is, we're proposing a 10-foot PUE because there is not a public utility along Scenic here. And then because of the topography, because of there's a retaining wall here, we just were proposing that any development would stay outside of that area.
Gotcha. Aaron?
Yeah, I just have a question for Amy on this one. Obviously, once the partition is approved and that new lot is developed with a new single family home, any of those trees would be exempt, if not addressed, for protection in the course of this planning action. I presume that a condition of approval that those trees would need to be preserved and subject to regulation going forward would be acceptable.
Yeah, they, I don't see why not. They would be subject to regulation with the partition because of the size of them. When the lots are vacant, all the trees on this property would trigger tree removal permits by themselves.
I just wanted to make sure we're clear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then future development, some of them are in the right of way. So that's inherent protection. And then I would presume that I don't know how the city's working that once the homes are built and tree protections in place and those things, but I don't see why it, you know, other than a deed restriction, I don't know how the protection is maintained on those, but every intention is to preserve.
Perfect.
Those
I just trees. Wanted to confirm that.
Yeah. The only place where the building envelope is encroaching is where the concrete's already encroaching into the drip line of the tree.
Anybody else have any questions for Amy?
Well, yeah, and maybe this was just covered by you, Aaron, but in the packet I have under AMC 18.4.5 trees, it says the oak trees will all require a tree removal permit at any point that it is warranted with a site development permit. But the plan is to keep the trees?
Yeah, the only reason I brought it up is I thought Amy said something about putting in a potentially a different driveway approach to that other parcel. That's why I mentioned it.
Okay.
This driveway, parcel two, we had thought about doing a separate driveway, but because of the curve in Scenic, even though we could meet spacing standards, we couldn't really create a situation where someone could back out of a driveway safely and not create a situation. So the layout we have accommodates backup and turnaround through mutual access across both of those properties, parcel one and two.
I may have misunderstood what you were saying. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so parcel three will have to go through, of course, a much more rigorous development review process when it comes forward, which at that time will then incorporate tree preservation removal for those trees on parcel three.
Gotcha. Anything else? All right, we'll close the public hearing portion. Thank you, Amy.
I'm sorry, I moved her back to the audience before she got to finish saying that.
Oh, that's all right. I don't see an issue with this one, but anybody have any thoughts, questions, comments? Deliberations. Yeah, I
thought, you know, the parcel three, you know, I thought the pine trees actually look really good. You know, they're kind of in a natural little draw. I think they're getting a little more moisture than some of the other trees around there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're not planning on removing those oaks, partly for their sake, because that's going to block all that hot afternoon sun. That big, big oak is impressive. So yeah, I think the fact that they don't want to cut them down, I think it's great. I have no problem with approving this one. I am kind of seeing the writing on the wall, though, that parcel, you know, this set of properties is going to keep, there's going to be some more tree removal permits coming up. Kind of like that property on South Mountain Street with all the pines that just kept getting, you know, 1 month it's one pine and then eventually there's nothing. So I think they want to preserve these, and I think that's great. Is Eric here?
He's here.
All right, there he is. What do you think, Eric?
I think you're on mute, Eric. I can't hear you.
Can't hear you, Eric.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
You still can't hear me.
Now we can.
Okay. Okay, you want me to turn my back off? I'm just kidding. Okay. The only thing, I thought they were going to try to protect all the trees on there. That's what I thought she said.
For that parcel, the parcel that's on the agenda for now is, yeah. But the other parcels will probably need permits, and they'll come to us at that time.
So this is kind of, at this point, I guess I'm not quite understanding what we're supposed to do at this point.
Yeah, at this point, we're reviewing the tree protection plan for those, for the oaks and the big pines, right?
Correct. Yeah, there's a utility easement that goes through there. And so they showed the location of the tree protection at the drip lines so that they can do the excavation without getting in the critical root zone.
Yeah, and I think it looks pretty good. You know, the trees that are really close to the structures were kind of small. Although the one, was that Strawberry Street? No, that's, I got my orientation off here. No, that's towards Strawberry.
Yeah, Strawberry, Nutley, yeah.
That's a big one down there. There was a big, like, sweet gum kind of in the middle there. that could be affected at some point, but it's a pretty small map to really, you know, nitpick the fine details. I make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
I would second.
All right. All those in favor? Aye. Show of hands. Aye. Motion carries. All right. Call to order planning action. And I'm sorry, the lady from the audience from 440.
That's correct. She's okay. Yeah, Deborah was here. Deborah was interested in the next application, correct?
Okay. Well, we'll do that next. Planning action PAT1-2021-00169. This is 440 Glenview Drive. The applicant owner is Concairn Landscape Architecture for Clark Pothoff. This is a request for a physical environment constraints review permit to construct a new residence on hillside lands with severe constraints. This is before the tree commission review the tree removal and protection and planting plan. Anybody need to abstain or any site visits on this one?
This one, I didn't see.
So are we looking at your screen, Aaron?
That's correct. Yeah. Do you want me to go ahead? I was kind of waiting.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So this application and the next one are both very similar. They're both in steep terrain. And they're both prepared by Carrie Concairn. It's not as fancy of a presentation as what Amy just gave you. This is really just straight out of the packet. This is the overall site plan. This is showing you the slope analysis of the property. You can see that there's a lot of areas that are, you know, greater than 45%, which is why the house is located down here. This driveway, I haven't done a site visit personally, but my understanding is that this driveway itself and the tree removals associated with it have already happened. And the reason for that was the previous property owner felt that the property would be more marketable with that work already taken care of. So this is the tree protection and removal plan. What you're seeing up here with this extensive fencing is that on a previous sheet here, there's apparently utilities that are going out that direction for water and other utilities. So that's why they're proposing this fencing. One thing I'd like to mention about the tree protection fencing, and it wasn't brought up by the applicant, but the code specifically talks about 6-foot chain link fence. And the chain link fence gets to be really unmanageable in these steep slopes, especially when you're going uphill. And there have been times where we've allowed people to do this, and I just like to bring it up formally in this context, that the plastic, like snow fencing, I'm not sure what to call it exactly. It's the type of fencing that you would see at a ski resort, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot more friendly in terms of working with difficult terrain. And I would like to incorporate that into your recommendation as we're reviewing this, because I think it makes for at least in areas where it's appropriate, because the chain link ends up getting pushed out of the way and becoming an ineffective tree protection. Whereas at least the plastic fencing, you know, it works with the terrain enough that it has a better chance of staying in place. As far as the total number of trees being proposed for removal, I don't have my blurb in front of me. John, is it listed in the blurb itself?
No.
No. Okay. So this is the table from this page. As you can see, many of them, some of them are marked as already gone per temporary drive. So those ones that are indicated as such are already gone. So in terms of the ones that are proposed for removal, I count 10 that are proposed for removal that are outside of the drive area. And so that would be these along this retaining wall area. And these back here. As far as why these are being requested for removal, I can't speak to it. We can certainly take a look at it. 100, 102, and 108.
That's interesting. Looks like they're quite small.
Yeah, I guess they're quite small and they're in poor condition. I'm not sure what the that means that they're being deliberately replaced with another mitigation tree. That's, I'm sure, what they're trying to say there. And then these others are obviously, you know, firmly within the building envelope. So that's about all I have to say about this application. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. And I don't know if now would be a time to go ahead and invite Deborah to say anything either in favor or against.
Yeah, I think so. Deborah, you're welcome to, yeah.
Hi, thank you very much. So I live at 523 Terrace Street, and that property is such a shame when, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, the backhoes went in and just made that gigantic gouge. It's very, I actually walked the property today, actually. I've never been to a meeting before. This is my first time. And so I don't really know a lot about city planning, but I do know that that hill is super steep. So my hill, we own 523 Terrace, and next to the Sprague's, that open lot we actually just bought to keep it open for the animals. And it is super hot western exposure. And I guess my concern is that I'm looking at some of the trees and there's like metal markers on them. And I don't know if those are the trees that are going to be removed. And there's also some like four or five trees that have the pink ribbon. But
yeah, I can speak to that for you, actually, yeah. If you'd like, Deborah. All of the trees that were shown on that map that I was just showing are the tags are on every tree that's greater than 6 inches. The mm-hmm. ones that are flagged are the ones that are proposed for removal.
Okay, because I think the sign said 15 to be removed, and I only saw the ribbons on maybe 4 or 5 trees. And so there's a very large oak as you look up the tree to the right, which looks like maybe that's where the house site would be. I'd be very curious how the plan's going to go, because it's such a deep gouge. Anyway, I'm not an architect, but there are two ponderosas that are beautiful that are basically, as you look down the hill, they're almost on Glenview Drive itself. And I don't know if those aren't tagged, but I would be concerned that those would be going. Since we've lost so many trees on Glenview from the drought. Anyway, so, and then also at the top of the hill where the border of the other neighbor is, there are some trees that I don't understand would be removed as well. I guess all I'm saying is it's so hot, it's so dry, just to save as many as they can. They'll be so appreciative to have some shade on that western side.
Deborah, I would like to get your, I don't know if you're comfortable sharing your contact information here, yeah. Or you can email me. I would like to put you in touch with the planner who is handling this so he can provide you additional information.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to, because this is being recorded and it'll be available online, so I don't know if you want to give your contact information here publicly, yeah. But I can certainly give you my email address and you can send me an email.
Yes, please. That'd be lovely. Thank you,
okay.
Aaron.
Okay, great. So my email address is Aaron, A-A-R-O-N dot Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N at ashland.or.us. And when you send me an email, I'll put you in touch with Derek Severinson, who's the staff planner on this. And I want to make sure that you get all of your questions answered.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, you guys. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is the public portions closed now?
Chris, your mic's off.
Yes, public portion is closed. Sorry, I'm trying to read my packet.
Well, I think it's nice to have someone that cares about what's going on coming up and showing at the meeting and telling their opinion about it. I think the trees that I see that would be close to the road appear to be stained. Those are probably the pines that she's talking about. What I'm seeing, you know, some of the trees are already removed. You know, it's a steep hillside. They got to have retaining walls. There's nowhere really you could shift things without chopping down. I mean, you might be able to save some trees, but then you'd just be chopping down others. So
Classic development, cut down the trees and build a retaining wall instead, right? To do what the trees are doing, hold the hillside.
Good point.
I mean, is I'm assuming if Curry submitted this, there is a landscaping plan or some kind of mitigation plan? Maybe I just haven't seen it yet.
There is, and I'm sorry that I didn't share that. Give me just one moment here.
Okay.
All right, here is the planting plan. And I'm more than happy to zoom in and read any of the particular species for you if you'd like. What is a chaste tree?
I'm not familiar with that one. Anybody else?
What is it? Which one is
chaste?
It?
Vetix agnus.
It's kind of a smaller tree.
Yeah, it says 7 to 8 feet.
Yeah, it's almost a shrub.
Like the cedars would be the biggest ones going in, huh?
And nothing terribly large stature.
Just the cedars.
Yeah.
Can't see where they're going.
Cedars. I wonder if the cedars are up higher, because this is obviously a zoomed in planting plan. And it doesn't look like there's a planting sheet showing the entire property.
I'd be curious to know what's going in place of those oaks right above the retaining wall. Can't.
Oh, well, so here's one cedar that's indicated.
Those are chaste trees. Okay, thank you.
Yep, there, and then the other cedar that's indicated is here.
I guess ultimately there's more trees going in than are coming out.
I believe the application does mention that.
Well, that's good. I think my mic was muted when I was talking about the chaste and vitex.
Yeah. What do you know about those?
Well, it's a medicinal plant. Sometimes it's used in female cyclical remedies, you know. But it's got a spike flower. It's kind of purple, but I would consider it kind of more almost like a butterfly bush as far as its size.
Mm.
But real cool, awesome palmate leaf. There's one on Nevada Street, Nevada and Glendower, Nevada and Michelle, or something like that, right on the corner.
Look that one up. The crepe myrtle should do well in that hot, dry spot.
Yeah.
And the cedar, maybe not the maples. But... Yeah, stuff. I guess I go to. They've got a decent tree protection zone. They're gonna, you know, not gonna be on the hill too much. Most everything coming out is within the building footprint and the driveway, and it's hard for us to alter that, especially in that narrow of a area to work with, I think.
I wonder if there's anything done to keep the water on the property. Is there any swales or anything? You know, if they're reducing this the surface of the ground, are they retaining that water, or is it just all going on to Glenview?
I'm going through the drawings right now to see if they specifically have a drainage plan on here. It doesn't appear that they do. For single family housing, it typically doesn't trigger the requirement for low impact development, which is the type of thing that would require swales and stormwater treatment and that sort of thing.
Okay.
You guys have any opinions on the fencing change instead of the chain link versus the
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good idea.
Much more
feasible. Yeah, I think it's a good idea too. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like trying to hang like a picture frame on a wall of made of fencing.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially because of the steep slope. I mean, what Aaron said made total sense to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as far as the actual protection, these maps are just so small. It's hard to see any of the fine detail.
I can zoom in on any of the detail that you'd like to look at, Asa. Let me go back to that sheet. So
maybe tree number two, that big one right above the main structure.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what size tree that is. Let me take a look really quick. That is a
black oak.
Black oak, yep. 18-inch DBH.
Yep.
I think that's the biggest tree to have.
What and what's that inner circle? Is that referring to maybe the critical root zone instead of the root zone? Or
let's look. Her legend calls that the tree protection zone, as opposed to, I suppose, the canopy, which is odd because I always thought the tree protection zone was typically wider than the drip
ideally
line.
Ideally, yeah.
Isn't the root zone is a function of the DBH, right? The critical root zone?
Sometimes, yeah, I've seen it both ways. It seems to depend on the situation. That's I forget the math on it. It's like, do you guys know 2 feet per inch of DBH or the furthest extent of the drip line? It's kind of a rule of thumb to start with.
2 foot times DBH, yeah, would be a lot.
It's generally quite a bit more, yeah. And don't quote me on that math, but it's usually more. And you think about it, I mean, ultimately all these trees with room to run, you know, their drip lines can go 10 times beyond the drip line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially on a slope, I mean, because mm-hmm. the roots are going to be following down. I mean,
yeah,
but Carrie did this plan. I mean, if Carrie did this plan, I mean, she's been around the block a time or two.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's always a tricky balance to try to build with the client once and save. I mean, I bet you that 18-inch oak is probably one of the biggest ones on here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's if we were to, you know, say, hey, could you just shove everything down the hill just a little bit to help protect that oak? Then we end up crunching the pine down by the road. So,
yeah,
I think there's going to be a sacrifice, and they legally have to build their home or have the right to build their home. So I'm ready to make a motion.
I agree.
Yep. Go for it, Asa.
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted. And encourage them to make the tree protection as big as they can.
I would second that.
Second that. And I'm sorry, do we need to add language about the fencing, or is that already in there, Aaron?
I've captured it for you.
Okay. All right. All right. All those in favor?
And Aaron, I hope, you know, that encouraging them, I'm not meaning to stop them from doing the work if they can't make the protection bigger. I'm just thinking, you know, just a reminder, hey, you know, these trees, you know, like Chris is saying, the roots go far, so protect them as best you can. Is that?
I like that they got all the uphill wide open for undisturbed routes, but yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. We're all clear on Ace's comments here.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. All right. Next up, a color favorite order. Yeah, I think, I'm sorry. I think we all got an eye. We have a unanimous.
Yeah, we all got an eye.
Cool.
And thank you for Deborah for coming in and being aware, concerned. All right, planning action T1 or PA T1 2021-00170. This is at 218 Logan. The applicant again is Carrie Concairn Landscaping for Bonington. This is a request for a physical environmental P&E constraints review permit. The construction of a new home on a previously approved lot prior to the implementation of the Hillside Standard Ordinance. This is before the Tree Commission reviewed the tree removal protection and planting plan. What was the Hillside Ordinance in?
So the Hillside Ordinance got modified in the early 2000s, 2000 or 2001. And the subdivision, as I understand it, do you guys know where Ashland Creek Drive is? If you go all the way down Granite to the very end of Lithia Park, there's a street called Ashland Creek that goes way up into the mountains.
Oh, and okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really, really, really steep. And that was approved in 1999. And then it was tied up in litigation for, I believe, several years. And it was the catalyst that made the city realize people will just cut into the hills steeper and steeper unless they do something. And so there are lots that are out there that were subdivided back in the day that have not been built upon but could not be created today. And this is an example of that type of lot. So is the last one we looked at. This application, is the floor mine now?
Yes, okay. Please.
Yeah, so your packet is going to be not worthwhile because I just received updated materials yesterday. And since I just received them yesterday, I haven't had a great deal of time yet to go through them and compare the original submittal to the present submittal. I believe the house location changed slightly. Part of the foundation changed slightly to adjust for some of the cuts. I think in terms of tree protection and tree removal, there have not been many changes except for I know that this tree right on the back property, I do not believe your packet materials discussed this. Peter, I believe you were contacted about this since the application was put in, right?
Yeah, I think it was since it was put, I did go up there and take a look. And since it's right on the property line with Hald Strawberry Park, she wanted permission from Parks to remove that. And it's just an 8-inch oak tree, so it didn't seem like a problem.
My question for them when I was looking at it was trying to understand why some of these trees that are much closer are being able to be protected, whereas this tree so much further away is not. And the answer has to do with the fact that around this part of the foundation, they're going to have to excavate down nearly 20 feet from the present grade. And you can't just do that all in one bite. And so what's actually going to happen is they're going to have to excavate up here higher on the hillside to step it down to allow them to excavate as deep as they need to here. Where's the tree protection plan? Here we go. No. Here's the tree protection plan. I'm a little anxious about this area just because it's so close to the retaining walls. Mm-hmm. And similarly, I'm not sure what's intended along here because obviously there will be some kind of excavation. I was hoping Carrie was going to be here so she could speak to that, but I don't have an answer for what's proposed there. You'll notice that most of the trees for removal are either, you know, right in the envelope or very near it. And, you know, when you consider the need for when you have a driveway this long, you have to be able to show us that you have three parking spaces and that they can back up and exit independently. And so when you consider the requirements that we've placed on them in terms of vehicle maneuvering and parking and what they have to work with in terms of location, I feel that they cited the home and the driveway area about as good as they could have in terms of trying to maximize preservation.
Well.
And again, the planting plan is also here. We can look at that in more detail if you'd like.
Sure.
There's the planting plan. In terms of species, how big do Portugal laurels get?
They're like basically a hedge.
Mm-hmm.
They can get tall, like Totinia or laurels. They're kind of cool. I'm not a big fan of all those big green hedges, but these have a little more character to them.
Mm.
The Portuguese laurel doesn't get as big as the English laurel.
Mm.
So they'll be probably maybe max around 10 feet, whereas English laurel can get up over 20.
And this is one, apparently there's a couple of Zelkovas. Here's where one of them goes. Maybe there's only one. Oh, no, they're planting Zelkovas back here too.
Awesome tree, I think.
Zelkovas are in the oak family, is that correct?
I thought they're their own thing. They're just Zelkova serrata, right?
Yep.
But oh, yeah, it's kind of an
unwooded area there.
I like them too, just because they're so hardy and grow fast and seem to do well here. I did learn they're a bit of a food desert for birds. Like nothing lives on them. Nothing feeds on them.
Really? I never knew
that.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
They're a Leland cypress in disguise.
A little bit. Just don't burn quite as quick.
There you go.
That's just, yeah, it's been increasingly difficult, as you guys know, to pick trees that are going to last here and hot and dry. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, I know, you know, a few sessions ago I was on a pomegranate kick, but I hear they do really well in hot and dry zones.
Yeah. They're Mediterranean, right?
Mediterranean, yeah.
They got some neat form to them too.
I'm ready to make a motion. I don't want to be the steal all the opportunities for you guys.
I'll make a motion to approve as submitted.
I'll second welcome any. Again.
All right. All those in favor? Is there any friendly amendments? We get it. All right. Motion carries. Okay. I don't have my second page, but I think there's some stuff, the GIS, Tree of the Year.
Yeah, so I have a couple of things to go over. You want me to go ahead and take it?
Yeah, please.
So let's start with the fun one, Tree of the Year nominations. You know, it's no great surprise that we didn't get a lot. We actually got 17 different submissions, which I thought was pretty cool considering the fact that, you know, it was only on the city's webpage and it was promoted on, I believe, Facebook once. And so the fact that, you know, 17 times people took the effort to do that is pretty cool. Of those 17, one of them was a test. So I guess 16 total. And then there were five that I had to eliminate because they were either on parks property or school property or otherwise. So that left us with 11 trees that I think are valid nominees. I haven't had a chance to go out and photograph them.
Is the nominating closed?
I officially went ahead and closed the nomination, yes. But okay. I'm sure that we could let commissioners exercise their discretion of putting in their own nominees post public closure of the nominations.
Okay.
Does anyone have any interest in going out and taking some photos of some of these trees?
Yeah.
So is it okay if I just send the list out to the group and whoever gets a chance to take photos of some of them, and whatever ones don't get photos, I can rely on Street View? Because I'd really like to get the voting up and running soon. And I think the voting really goes better if we have photos for people to vote on.
There's how many? Like 11?
11 of them, yeah. 11.
I think it's a great idea. Send it out to all of us.
Or, yeah, idea. I think maybe, we should just divvy it up, too.
Yeah, exactly. So do you mind if I just go ahead and assign you to a couple, you to a couple?
I think that'd be simplest, yeah. Instead of the whole list, then we got to figure out who's doing what.
Asa, your camera's off, but are you game for being assigned to a couple of trees to take photos of?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a smartphone. Well, I could take it with an old smartphone and then email it to you. I was listening to that whole conversation. There was a cat fight I had to go attend to.
That's great.
Be glad to take a few too, if it helps. So
many hands make light work. So let me go ahead and just basically assign the four of you to some trees and we'll get some photos taken.
Great.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. That's great.
I'm going to add a live oak. I went by yesterday.
Oh. Perfect. You're going to have a hard time beating the oak that got nominated on B and C Street. There's apartments there, and it's a big oak in the planner strip, and there's no electrical lines overhead. You know the one I'm talking about, Peter?
I think so.
It's got two main stems, and it's really big.
That's on C Street?
I think it's on B and 4th, I think.
Okay.
I'll make sure I assign you to it.
Right.
Tree City USA is the next item. Ashland has been doing Tree City USA for, I think, 35 years. That may be the end of the run due to administrative issues, and I've done my very best. Long story short, I've done most of everything that needs to be done to get it. The deadline was November 15th. She granted me an extension to the end of the calendar year. And the thing that I'm needing is the signed Arbor Day proclamation from Arbor Day 2021. And without going into too much detail, there's been a lot of turnover and some staffing issues in administration. And so there's a couple of people who are spread really thin right now. And so this is the sort of thing that would fall to the city recorder. She's wearing a bunch of other hats. I've made another request. The problem is that even if I get this proclamation tomorrow, when I upload it, then I have to download another form that also needs the mayor's signature. And they've now given me a final deadline of, I believe, the 12th, which is Wednesday of next week. I don't think that I'm going to have the time to get the mayor's signature on two more forms in the next 6 days. I'll talk to the woman again. You know, it behooves them to have cities who are on board. She's being really flexible. Maybe she'll give me a third chance. But that's where we're at with Tree City USA. In terms of the next question, well, what do you get for being a Tree City USA? I think we get to say we're a Tree City USA. I don't think that other than the bumper sticker that they send us, there's any other thing that we get out of it. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's no big deal. We've been doing it for a lot of years. But in terms of, are we going to be negatively impacted if this doesn't go through? We won't be able to say we're a Tree City USA for the next year, but we'll get it next year, I guess, would be the answer to take. And then lastly, at the last meeting, I gave you a brief introduction to that tree inventory program. I have not advanced that ball at all since we spoke then. Kind of wanted to gauge from you all what your interest was in standing that up, because if we want to make it go that way, I'm going to need to put a little bit of effort into it to basically get it turned on. And then I can say, here's how you sign up. Here's your usernames, go. So is there interest for us to pursue that? Because I don't want to put effort into making that happen if we're not going to do anything with it. And so I'd kind of put that to y'all.
I definitely have interest.
I wouldn't, but
you would not. Yeah.
I mean, I would, but I just time constraints.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Peter, do you have much of a volunteer base that you could harness at parks?
You know, that's possible. There's a volunteer coordinator, and he deals with that. I haven't done a lot with volunteers myself, but that's a possibility. I'm not exactly sure, you know,
I didn't even realize
people might be interested, but
yeah,
it could be. Yeah, I could.
It seems like Kat might have a network that would be interested as well. And even if we focus on a neighborhood, just the street trees in a neighborhood, like B Street, you know, especially has a lot of nice big old trees there.
That would be neat.
And we did until we, part of our, through the company, we pay for volunteer time every once in a while. And that was one of our days. Talent had a similar thing here. And we just took a morning and logged a bunch of trees and Talent, not more to go, but it was kind of a fun project. And I bet I could round up some arborists to help out.
Well, that sounds like there's enough interest for me to do something with it. I can't guarantee you it's going to go anywhere in the next couple of weeks. But I just wanted to take the temperature before I continue to invest resources into it. So yeah. Those were the three items I had.
Okay. I would even think by spring, that's a nice time. People are looking at trees more, and easier to identify with the leaves back on. But
you know, you actually just reminded me of a story from when I was at SOU. There was a student who was going to do, he wanted to do a comprehensive tree inventory of the entire campus before he realized that A, that was unrealistic, and B, it's impossible to determine the species of certain trees during the time he had available.
Didn't they do that though? Didn't Mike?
He did like an arbor walk. So he did. Identified some cool species. And have you guys done that? It's super worthwhile.
Well, so actually, since you bring it up, it's interesting because we also pooled that data in. And as me and Ricky were looking at it, the walk starts over by the SOU athletic fields. And two of the trees that are identified on that walk have since fallen during that recent windstorm. One is a big redwood there in the parking lot. And the other one, was that a cottonwood? I can't remember what the other large one
might
was.
Might have been a locust.
I think that's exactly what it was. Yeah. And so what it made me think of is that when you take the time to set something up like a tree walk or like a tree inventory, you have to stay up on that thing. And one of the interesting things about the tree inventory program that I was looking at is there's different statuses. Status, sapling. Status, dead. Status, stump. It's a status. Because trees will, you know, die and fall and go away. Anyway, that's all I got.
Stump. Okay. Thanks, Aaron. We all get an asterisk for the 36th year of the Tree City USA.
Well, I'm going to still do my best, but I just we'll see. It's not looking good.
Yeah. All right. Anybody have anything else?
Oh, Aaron, could I? I think I've dropped off the list for getting the packet. Last few meetings I've gotten the.
I don't think they're being mailed, are they? All electronic
Is it going? Are you sending it out online?
Yeah, so I've gotten into the habit of sending it out to emails only unless requested otherwise.
I think I got off that list. If I could get back, I get the agenda, but not the packet. So,
okay, I understand now. I will make sure that you get the full packet.
Great. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Good to look at that.
Also, it's always available on the website. Is, you know, when it goes out to y'all, that's when it's getting published online as well.
Okay, then just go to the website and pick it up.
It's always there. Yep.
Okay. Yep.
But Peter, I do much better with just a bona fide hard copy in front of me. So I get one printed out from Liz or
okay.
Somebody does it for me, and it's a big help for me to have it here versus flip changing screens and.
And I'm more than happy to print out hard copies for anyone who wants one. It was just as we were getting more and more digital, it was like, unless someone specifically wanted one, I didn't want to be wasting the paper.
Yeah, understandable.
We are the Tree Commission after all, right?
A lot of paper. All right, well, 7:03. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Bye-bye.